Take your Bibles, if you will, now. Just one verse tonight. I'm speaking on the biblical family. I'm very burdened about the families in our country today. My heart is really burdened about it, and I believe we need to go back to some of the basic principles of the Word of God to get our families straightened out and to have strong families. And I believe Satan hates strong families. This verse you're very familiar with, Proverbs 22 and verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's a powerful verse, and we've heard it to the point that we just sort of accept it and let it, we just sort of go over the top of it sometimes. But it is a powerful, powerful verse, and I'll say a little more about that particular verse later, talking about the direction that some children go in. In Exodus chapter 20, in verse 12, don't turn there, I'll just read it. The scripture says, honor thy father and thy mother. Teenagers, are you listening? Say amen. Oh, they did say amen. That's good. And children, are you listening? Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. This is the only commandment that I'm aware of with promise like this, with a promise from the Word of God that would give you longevity of life. We have what we call today the nuclear family, and I think that's the one God set up. The husband, wife, and children. Husband, wife, and children. Not two women and children, not two men and children, but a husband, wife, and children, the nuclear family. And I believe that it's just about exploded in our country. But is there hope? I say there's hope if we do what God says to do. If people in this church, in churches like this, will hear the Word of God and do the Word of God, then I believe we can see some good results. Now, the world doesn't like you and me as Christians. They say that evangelicals, that we cram our values down their throats. I believe it's the other way around. I mean, who's trying to redefine when life begins? They are. Who's trying to define that it's all right for to have premarital sex as a trial basis? Who is it that says that they have redefined the family? Friend, it's not us, it's them. We believe what God says about it. So enough is enough for that. But God established the biblical family. God established that. So, parents, how can you become worthy of honor? It says to the children, honor thy father and thy mother. But I believe dads and moms in here need to earn that honor. There's a lot involved in your life to bring you to the place where you earn that honor. And it doesn't matter. A pastor's not going to change those children. A preacher in just once a week, maybe twice a week, or a youth director, we cannot teach them. But you have to teach them in your life whether or not you're worthy or not to be considered people of honor. And the way to do that is to live honorable lives. Mothers, you ought to live honorable lives. Daddies, you should live honorable lives according to the scripture. Now, God didn't say, young people, for your parents to be perfect. I got news for you. There are no perfect parents. Amen? Parents, stay with me on that, all right? There are no perfect parents. Maybe you don't want your child to know that, but you're not perfect. I promise you that. There aren't that. Now, does that mean because they're not perfect, they're not to be honored? No, they're still to be honored. Children are to obey their parents, and they're to honor their parents as long as they don't try to force them to do something contrary to the will of God, to the Word of God. Now, if we train them right, like the text says, and that's exactly what we need to do, here's the thing I want to try to encourage some of your parents with, and this will be a little controversial with some. But I want to say this, you cannot guarantee how your children will turn out. cannot guarantee how your children will turn out. And if you think that you're going to control every bit of it just because you sent them to a Christian school when they were young and that kind of thing, I want to tell you, dear friend, and I'm not against those. I'm not against those at all. Don't misunderstand me. But you'll drive yourself to gray hair and an early grave and all kinds of physical problems and spiritual problems if you let it get you down. You did all you could do. You were not perfect. You trained them right. You taught them right. Now, friend, it's between them and God to do the right thing. They are to do the right thing. And so we understand, and people come up to you sometimes if your children are not doing exactly what they're supposed to be doing, and they'll lay Proverbs 22:6 on you and say, you've got the problem. You must not have trained them upright. Sometimes you do train them upright, and they have wills, and they will turn in their own direction because God gave them a will for long periods of time. Now, hopefully, when they are older, they will come back to it. Whatever old means there, you have to define all of that. But they will try to put that on you and make you feel guilty. Now, you have to be careful about it because you look at the Proverbs and you'll see that all Proverbs do not necessarily guarantee that total success in those things. For instance, there are a lot of Proverbs that tell us how to be rich. How many of you are rich? You're not going to raise your hand if you are. You don't want anybody to know you got that kind of money. But most of us know the Proverbs, but just because those principles are there, it doesn't mean we're going to be rich. And I want to say this, that a proverb, and you may want to jot this down if you can write it fast, a proverb is a general principle that when generally applied brings a general result. Let me say it again. A proverb is a general principle when generally applied brings a general result. Friend, may I remind you that God had two children. They didn't do too good. And they had a perfect environment and a perfect father. But God gave them a will, didn't he? Adam and Eve had a will. Their two children had wills. One turned out bad, one turned out good. Same environment, same parents, same everything. And God has given your child a will. And you have desires for your children. I don't think it's a good idea to set goals necessarily, specific goals that we want for our children. I think we ought to have desires for our children, not necessarily goals all the time. My desire is this. My desire is that I have godly children and godly grandchildren. That to me is the most important thing. That is a desire of my heart, that my children live for God and that my grandchildren get saved and they live for the Lord. My goal is simply to be a godly father and a godly grandfather. I hope that's the way they look at me, as a godly father and a godly grandfather. My friend, you cannot set all the patterns for them and all the goals, and you're going to be so disappointed sometimes when they are not exactly like you wanted them, and they didn't fulfill your particular goal that you have for them. But praise God, if they love God and go to church and serve the Lord, you ought to be thankful. But some of them are not going to do that. I mean, they're not. PKs, MKs. DKs, deacons' kids, that fits. All of it. And we just have some broken hearts and disappointments sometimes, don't we? I guarantee you a lot of you in this building tonight have heavy hearts about your children. And some of them are your grandchildren. And your hearts are heavy about them. And you feel that in your heart. But you've got to look to God and let God work in their lives. And God will take care of that, I believe, in time. Now, how are you going to gain their honor? You as parents, I as a parent, a grandparent, how are we going to gain the honor of our children? Number one, by loving them. You say, well, I love them. Well, do you? How much do you love them? We need to love them. And if we love them, we're not going to give them what they want all the time. We'll give them what they need. Amen? You say, well, I love them. I'm going to give them everything they want. That doesn't prove that you love them. But you know what their needs are, and you try to give them what they need, not just what they want. And one of the things in loving them you need to do, I think, is physically touch your children. Some John Wayne guys think that's way above their job description. Let me tell you, you ought to love your children. Love on your children. And kids need hugs. They don't need drugs. Amen? If they had more hugs, they'd probably have less drugs. It'd probably be that way. The prodigal son's father put his arms around him and kissed him when he came back and got right with God. Gave him a big hug and a big kiss. And by the way, dads, I think it helps keep your children from growing up to be sexually impure if you hug your children and you hug your daughters. It has been proven that a girl whose daddy gives her a hug and hugs of affection is less likely to trade sexual intimacy for affection. Let them see you hug each other and you hug them, and let them know how much you love them. It does mean a lot to them. And take time. I know we're all busy. We're all in a hurry. Oh, I don't know if I have time to stop and hug my children. You better take time to stop and hug them. You better take time to do that. Chuck Swindoll, I quote him, he said, many a young woman who opts for immoral sexual relationships does so because she can scarcely remember a time when her father so much as touched her. Unaffectionate dads, without wishing to do so, can trigger a daughter's promiscuity. Dads, hug your daughters. Hug your granddaughters. And hug your boys, too. Now, another way we can do that is by blessing them. What they need is strokes, not pokes. They don't need you down their throat all the time. They need for you to brag on them once in a while. Hold up little Billy and tell him how much God loves him, how much you love him. Amen? Lift him up before the Lord. Older children, you have to deal with that in a different way. But you need to let your children know you love them and that you believe in them. If they have lofty dreams, you're behind them. You're going to support them. And they can know that they have your blessing in doing what they're trying to do, as long as it's within the purview of God's favor. Encourage them. And sometimes, you may have to look a long time to find something to encourage them about. But when you find it, take the opportunity and encourage them a lot. And really encourage them. Another way is by listening to them. By listening to them. One of the best communications you can have as a counselor or as a parent is to keep your mouth shut. Just don't say anything. I mean, just listen to them. Sometimes we think we know so much that we've got to tell them before they get it halfway out of their mouth and got to explain to them, oh, we know this, we've got to answer for you. Let them talk. And by the way, when do teenagers want to talk? When they come in at 10 o'clock at night, 11 o'clock at night, that's when they're in a talkative mood. I can remember so many times it was like, oh man, we want to go to sleep and go to bed and sleep all night, but they would be at a church activity and come in and they'd want to talk to 11 or 12 o'clock. But you know what? I never regret the fact that we did that Carolyn stayed awake and listened to them. But that's just the way it is. But you say, well, I'm tired. I don't have time to talk. Listen to them. Listen to them. Talk to them. Spend some time with them. And again, that's part of it. Again, their honor. You honor them by loving them. And then by listening to them. And then by lifting them. Colossians 3:21. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger. Did you know, dads, you can do that? You really can. You have to be careful with that. You can provoke your children to anger. And he says the reason you don't want to do that is they'll get discouraged. They'll turn on you. They'll turn on the church. They'll turn on God. They'll walk out the door, and they won't talk to you anymore if you do that. I remember one time, I think I've shared this story here before, but my best friend back in those days, we went to church together, and we were teenagers, and we were out chopping cotton, long old rows of cotton down in northeast Louisiana. And his name was Buddy Bradshaw. And we were talking and chopping and talking and chopping the cotton, chopping the cotton. And all of a sudden, we saw his daddy come flying across the field. And he was mad. He was angry. He picked up a hoe. And with the handle of that hoe, he beat that boy in front of me. Well, there's there's another way to handle that. And we were not loafing, we were working. But he just didn't think that Buddy was working hard enough, and he took that hoe handle, and I mean laid it across his back a number of times. No wonder Buddy Bradshaw joined the Army right after that, as soon as he got a chance. Now, thank God Buddy didn't let it ruin him. He's still in church. He's a deacon in a little country church in Louisiana. But I'm telling you, his daddy provoked him, and he was very angry at his dad. And for a while, it wasn't a good situation at all. Wasn't a good situation. Now, a while back, my wife was gone for a while, and she went up to check on Nicole. And so while she was gone, there were some flowers out on the sun porch, and I noticed they were wilting a little bit. So I thought, you know, if Mama ain't happy, nobody's happy, you better water those flowers. And so I watered those flowers, and I watered them as often as I should while she was gone. She was gone about 3 weeks, I think it was. But they survived, amen? Here's the thing, you need to water your children daily. You need to find something to compliment them about daily. You need to love your children. God gave them to you as gifts, not as nuisances. And you need to show them that kind of love. Catch them doing something right. Compliment them for doing that. Encourage them with praise. Do you know if you'll praise your children, you'll be amazed what that will do for them in their desire to please you and to serve the Lord. Now, the better word there, let me qualify that, is encouragement. Praise has its place, but I would rather use the word encouragement. You praise them if they make the honor roll all A's. Praise, praise, praise. I want to tell you, some kids are not straight A students. Some of them aren't. And you can drill it into them and all of that. Some of them have a learning disability. Some of them are just not straight A students. You can brag on one of them and say, hey, why aren't you like your sister Mary? Because you don't make straight A's. She makes straight A's. What's the matter with you? Now, I'm not promoting laziness or the fact, but when they do the best they can and you're on top of that situation, then you need to encourage them, whether you can praise them or not. Encourage them by saying, you did your best. And I understand you're doing your best. And I love you for doing your best. And you have improved. You finally got your room cleaned up. You've improved. And I appreciate your effort. I mean, seriously, we need to encourage our children. Parents, you need to do that. That's how you gain that. And then also, this is on the negative side, by limiting them. And this is the one the youth won't like, probably. But parents, you need to give them healthy limits. You really do. Restrictions sets them free, actually. If you'll give them some restrictions, biblical restrictions, it will set them free. 1 Samuel 3:13, for I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile and he restrained them not. That's a passage of scripture where Eli did not restrain Hophni and Phinehas. And he let them get away with murder in the church. Like some rebellious pastor's kids where the pastor just let them do whatever they want to do. That type thing. And it can't be done. And so we have to realize that these restrictions are given by God. And parents are to give, are not to give in to those restrictions. And the child, whenever that happens, they lose their sense of security. Take my word for it, they really do. They lose their sense of security. Firm limits to your children says, I love you and I care enough about you to set these limits in your life because I love you. Now, the political correct society says, oh, you can't do that. You'll warp their personality. You know, you'll really mess them up if you give them limits. And there has to be a balance in that. But I'm telling you that there are limits you need to set on them. There was a sitcom producer a while back that said this. He said, every time I have a sitcom, I want to show at least three things in the sitcom that violates the Ten Commandments. He said, I mean, every time I want to at least have three of those commandments violated in the sitcom. What am I saying to you? I'm saying, Be careful what they watch. Be careful. You ought to be keeping up with their cartoons too. Let me tell you, Mickey Mouse ain't what Mickey Mouse used to be. Maybe he is, but some of the other characters aren't. I promise you. You need to know what they're watching. And if it's bad, if it's wrong, and it has stuff that will draw them away from God and godliness and make them rebellious, you need to say, you're not going to watch that. It's just not going to happen in this house. It's not going to be that way. And then gain their honor by leading them. Leading them. Show them. Train them is what he's saying. You need to lead your children and grandchildren. You need to train them. A football coach doesn't say, take a book and go read it and then get out there and play the game. A football coach says, he may have a plan and a playbook, but he says, we're going to practice, and we're going to practice 4 days a week. We might have a light day on Thursday, but Friday night we're going to knock heads, and I'm going to teach you how to run plays and how to be able to have longevity in the game so that you can win the game. He's not going to just suggest that you read a book. You need to train your children. Somebody who is training hunting dogs, they don't train them by just saying to them, you're hunting dogs, and so you're going to go out hunting with me. No, you take them out and train them. I led a guy to the Lord one time. I didn't know how in the world to get him interested in what I was trying to say. He would hide every time, lived out on a big farm. He would not come down from the second story. Finally, I said to his wife, what in the world can I do to get him to come down, to get him to talk to me? I said, I see some dogs out there. Would he talk to me about those dogs? And she said, oh, yeah, he'll talk to you about those dogs. And so I wanted to get on that conversation with him, and I did. And I said, hey, would you show me how to coon hunt? Would you do that? Now, you animal rights lovers, I'm sorry, but it doesn't bother me one bit to shoot a coon out of a tree and watch it fall. And I'll sell the fur or whatever it is they have. I'll sell those for a profit. But I got with him, and he said, we went to his house, and he said, get in a pickup truck. And he got those two dogs back there, and we went way out in the woods, down a lane, and stopped. And he had some coffee. He said, here, let's drink a little coffee. He said, and he let the dogs out, and boy, they took off. And I thought, well, what are we just going to sit here? Where are those dogs going? After a while, they were just barking like crazy. He said, let's go. And we took off. He liked to kill me. We went up hills and down hills. And then he wasn't satisfied. He went to another place and went uphill and downhill. I was wheezing. I couldn't. And, you know, he shot one. It didn't fall out of the tree. He shot one. It did. But by the way, he did get saved, by the way. He did come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to find out he has a wonderful voice like Brother Johnson. And I was so shocked the first time I heard him sing. But you don't do that. Parents, you've got to train your children. And one of the best ways to lead them to character is mainly by example. One of the problems with our children is mom and daddy who do not lead by example. We have to lead by example. And I think that we need to teach them character. Schools ought to implement character back into the schools, in education, character. They ought to talk about things like this: contentment, courage, courtesy, discernment, fairness, friendliness, generosity, being gentle, gentleness, helpfulness, honesty, humility, kindness, obedience, orderliness, patience, persistence, self-control, tactfulness, thankfulness, thriftiness, wisdom. We might temper the undue emphasis on sports and grades and physical health and popularity and ability. Why not get back into some of these character things and do our best to teach them those things? We need to lead them. Educators need to help lead them. And then we need to laugh with them. We need to laugh with our kids. Some parents are so stoic, they smile, their faces would crack like a vase being hit by a hammer. And there are times to be serious, and there are times to look that way. There are times to laugh. Humans are the only beings that I know of that laugh. If you know any different, tell me about it. I've never seen birds laughing. I've never seen dogs laughing. I know you think your dog laughs because it yelps or something, but he's not laughing. Luke 6:31, blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. It's all right to laugh. It's all right to laugh. The poet Thackeray said this, laughter is like sunshine in the house. Woo! I think I'd write that down and remember that. Laughter is like sunshine in the house. It really is. My family and I, we love, when we can be with them, we just love to be with them. I love to be with them. I love paying the bill when we go to the register. You know what I'm talking about. But I can remember when the kids were young, and then later on with the grandkids, we'd stop by McDonald's. And you dads, we need some sympathy on this, don't we? Everybody's hollering, the kids are hollering, you're sitting there trying to watch the traffic, pull up to the deal, you can't understand the foreigner that's talking to you on the other side, you don't have a clue what they're saying, all of that. And so I decided to order something that day, and I said, I want 2 Egg McChicken sandwiches or something like that. And Carolyn or somebody said, they don't have Egg McChicken. By the way, they do sell chicken now. I think I started it. I think that's where it got started. I gave them the idea. But every time we're together and I go to order, I still get messed up. And they all start laughing at me. And I laugh with them. Amen? They enjoy it. And if they can get some laughter out of it, that's all right with me. A house filled with fun. Parents, are you making it easy for your children to honor you? Are you making it easy for your children to honor you? Children, young children that are here, young people, youth tonight, are you honoring your father and mother? Remember, they don't have to be perfect. You're supposed to honor them. But parents, we could do a whole lot more maybe to get that honor, to gain that honor out of them. And the final question we need to ask ourselves, are we honoring God? Now, if you're here without Christ tonight, you've never been born again, you never got saved, you're not honoring God. You need to get saved, amen? And then you can call him your heavenly Father. And you can have him on your side, and you'll be on his side. You need to be saved tonight. If you don't get saved, before you die, you're going to go to hell. Very simply put. It's in the Bible. It's there. If you don't get saved before you die, you will go to an eternal damnation in hell. And since you don't know when you're going to die, if you're here without Christ tonight, you need to get that right. And you need to honor God. Receive his Son as your Lord and as your Savior. Let's stand, please.